please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 490. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm joined today by my co-host, the incomparable Nicole Shiro.
Hello, it's Shiro.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Remember, kids, and I am speaking to you. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Please do not go away. We will be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, November 7th, 2018. On the show today, we have the City Theater, their production of Doubt by John Patrick Shanley. Also, we'll be joined by the Chattuck Dance Theater and talking about their Fall Dance Festival. And of course, we're going to have news and views of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Dublin, and New York City. Don't go away.
It's my house now!
Damn, boom.
Boom.
Did you like that for timing?
I did.
Did you recognize that song?
I did.
Well, we're going to talk about it. Hold on to it. We're going to tell everybody what it is in just a second.
It was a great choice.
First of all,
for many
I need to
reasons.
Tell folks, which is one of the things I did not say in my little intro, this show is streaming live at koop.org.
Where's that?
koop.org.
Yes.
koop.org. You got to say it three times.
Do it. It's like three. Beetlejuice.
Yes, just like Beetlejuice, which we're going to talk about today.
Isn't that just funny how it all works out?
It is amazing. So checking in with you, Nicole Shiro, how are you?
I am good.
Yep. Well, we're going to, I know what you want to talk about. So I'm going to check in with you in a moment to talk about the things that I know you want to talk about.
Okay.
All right. I also want to thank Kim Simpson for a wonderful International Folk Bazaar once more.
Yes, Kim always rocks it.
He always rocks.
He does.
Yep. And I'm going to introduce the folks that are here with us, shall we?
Oh, please.
We have an all-star lineup here at the theater.
We do.
At the theater, at the radio station.
Well, you know, it is our theater all the time.
Don't even know. Well, life is a stage.
I was like, we're a walking theater. Come on now.
We are walking theater. We have a theater face fit for radio.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's why we're here.
We have with us for the first time in a long time, or maybe even the first time, I don't remember, Babs George. Hi, Babs.
Hi there.
I'm so thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
We also have, I hope, Angela Benz.
Yes, hello.
Yay, right into the microphone. Get that microphone right up to you. There you go. Now try it again.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's
yes.
All right. It's not the best I've seen, but it's good.
We'll do. Okay.
And welcome back, Cheryl Chadwick. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hold on. I'm going to turn your microphone on. That way you can be heard.
Oh,
say that
good.
Again.
Good. How are you?
I don't know.
Voila. It's how it happens.
Clearly, I'm not sure. So the song that we just heard was called Whose House Is This? From a little show called Mean Girls. And before we talk about what Nicole was up to this weekend, I did that because the House of Representatives of the United States of America has switched hands.
I know.
Okay.
That's why I said it was quite a little nice little song choice.
Quite a little ditty. So
I understood all that.
We're happy. I should say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not that of the radio station, the staff, or the board of directors, but simply my own. And I'm glad that the House shifted.
I know.
And I'm sad that Beto didn't shift with us.
I know. Yeah.
Very sad, but yeah. He did quite well. And in my district, Copster was much closer than we thought he'd be. So I guess that's kind of good. So, so that's the House. It's ours. Things will change, hopefully. By ours, I mean the Democrats. I tend to think I own them.
I was about to say, but don't you own them?
So, my question to you, Nicole Shiro, is where were you this weekend?
I went to New York City this weekend.
New York City?
Yes. My amazing cousin ran the New York City Marathon.
Yes, I saw pictures of that on the Facebook.
Yeah, that was so Man, I could never do it. I can't believe she did it. It was so exciting to cheer for every runner. She ran it in ran it just a little over 4 hours her first time.
Great. How many miles?
26.2 miles.
So has anybody here in this room done a marathon or a triathlon?
No, just witnessed them. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd really suggest, I have to say that I did the Danskin triathlon twice. It's great. It's very empowering. It's just women. Nobody's out to like kill anybody. It's just a really beautiful thing. I would suggest doing it.
It was so cool to be next to the other people cheering on, like, where's your friend? Oh, who's your family? Where are they? What's her name? What are they wearing? And everybody just cheering for everybody else. And then people having their names on their shirts. So people were just yelling for other ran. It was great.
So as you may or may not know, this show is about theater and not about sports. Although there is some overlap. But, so what I'd like to know is, what theater activities did you participate in New York City?
I went down to the Jersey Shore early Friday and broke my niece out of school to take her to King Kong Friday night.
King Kong. Okay, so now I would like, in front of everybody here, can we just confirm that you and I have not spoken since you've been to King Kong?
No, I haven't. I haven't spoken to you at all.
All right, so I have no idea, other than I think you texted me and saying that the puppet was pretty cool.
I think I texted you the puppet, OMG.
Yeah, so. Other than that, which is not a surprise, we assumed that was going to happen. What'd you think of the show? Was it better than you expected? No.
Okay. The puppet or the show?
I said the show.
Actually, there were some things that were nice, pleasant surprises, but I mean, it's all about the puppet.
I mean,
show is about the puppet. The puppet gets the final curtain call.
Of course.
The puppet deserved it. I mean, here's what my 12-year-old niece first turned around and said.
Not only is she your 12-year-old niece, she's our Eastern roving reporter.
She is our roving reporter. She is our New York Bureau. Morgan's first words out of her mouth were, I felt no connection with that actress at all. That was the first words out of her mouth. Wow. No connection.
So
dancing was spectacular.
Oh, that's good.
And it was so disjointed and odd and so like, you're like, why is this here in this period like piece? But it was so everything and it needed to be that way.
Who did the choreography?
I don't know offhand, but I have my playbill with me. And
okay, it's okay. Don't worry about it. No, it's all right.
And it was funny because she and I both were drawn to certain dancers. I'm like, the woman in the mustard dress and oh, this. So there were also some really cool moments in the way they created this giant LED screen and did the boat and everything. Here's the thing. I've never liked the story King Kong. I've never liked the movies. I went because I was obsessed with this puppet. It was totally worth it and then some. But I, for the first time ever, and the puppet made me do it at this show, felt empathy and sadness for Kong at the top of the building and they're trying to take him down. The work in his face. Wow. I was so like, am I about to cry for a puppet in this show? Brother and my niece felt the same way.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. Because it's the only way to talk when you're speaking to Nicole, is to interrupt her. So you were like fifth row, correct?
I was. Okay. I was scared for my life for a moment.
That's good. Do you think that people in the balcony or the mezzanine had the same experience as you with regards to the puppet?
Absolutely.
Cool.
And it was, what was crazy is you would have thought it was Paul McCartney starring in this thing because the puppet people were screaming like it was the Beatles in there for the puppet. It was nuts. Wow. So the work is crazy. No, I got scared because he comes up to the end of the stage and reaches out and touches into the first two rows and then leans forward. And this was my thought. Maybe it's because I have Spider-Man PTSD, was, oh my God, if that puppet falls, I'm right here. I'll be dead. It's one ton. Oh my God. And my brother goes, Nick, I had the same thought. So,
there you go.
So, yeah, I mean, it is what
probably
it is.
Probably what they were going for.
I couldn't tell you a song from it.
Now, have either of you three...
EDM is still in it from Australia.
Have either of you three ladies seen any of the video of this puppet?
No.
It is amazing. It's worthwhile. New York Times did had pictures and video of it about, 3 weeks ago. The expressions that this puppet makes is really, really, really amazing. And clearly, I think don't things are questioning the world how amazing it is from the point of view of liking the puppet. Everybody has said this is a musical, that the music and everything else about it is, and not so much.
No, the ensemble and the dancing was really spectacular, and some
did
of
they
the
have
moments,
production numbers.
They did have production numbers.
Well, hello, I'm Key Kong. Shuffle ball, step, flap ball, change.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the dancing was good because I actually danced with one of the people in that show.
It's a lot of new, a lot of new faces to Broadway.
Starts with an R. Her last name's like Monachino or something. I can't remember her first name.
Monachino, I put you on, I put you on the spot. I'm so sorry.
The ensemble and the dancing was
a red dress
really, really beautiful.
Cool. So now you need to go see it.
Now I do.
All right. So we.
My brother said Kong is the king of this show. Okay. That was his review.
Wow. Wow. How'd he come up with that one?
I know. I was like, thank you. I was like, thank you, Casey.
Casey, thank you. Don't give up your day job. So stop two on your tour of Broadway shows. What else did you see?
So then Morgan and I Saturday afternoon went and saw Mean Girls.
Mean Girls, the Tina Fey show?
Yeah. I have to tell you, at first we got in there and it wasn't just the little piece of paper that one or two people were changed. It was the giant full cast. And I was like, oh no, here comes the meltdown. There's no Taylor Lauterman.
But she was there.
No, she was not there. It was the standby. So we had a whole conversation. What is a standby versus an understudy? And can I tell you, she was 10 times better than Taylor Lauterman.
Wow. That's
Ashley De La Rosa rocked it.
That's oftentimes the case.
And
we hear about that a lot.
Morgan that. Yeah. And and then Morgan and I got a chance to go backstage.
Yeah. How did you finagle that one?
I just, my magical face.
Oh, tell us the truth. You have Nicole has connections all through New York City.
So we got to go backstage. She met two of the leads, and she was more interested in seeing where the props were the wall where all the other shows write down their stuff. Right. And really interestingly, when the famous people visit there, because the whole back is LED screens and they have nowhere to sign in the wings, they use the urinal prop from stage and they sign behind the bathroom doors in the stalls. So Carol Burnett's name is on the set piece in the bathroom stall. I giggled at that. I thought it was funny.
Okay.
That was our, and Mean Girls, what a great show for everyone. Yeah. I knew I'd have fun. Everyone was laughing, and that show could tour very easily and do well everywhere. What a wonderful afternoon and super talented cast and more great dancing.
Okay.
Big tap number.
All right. We have barely enough time to talk about anything, but that was good. I'm glad we discussed that. We're going to talk about two shows that opened. Torch Song Trilogy. It transferred from off-Broadway to Broadway with, Michael Urey.
Yes.
At the Helen Hayes, a Texan, an excellent actor. And they loved it.
I'm not surprised though. I wasn't surprised by that. I love the piece, and Michael Urey's pretty good.
They loved it, and he plays Arnold, and playing Arnold's mother is one Mercedes Rule.
Yeah, see, wow. If they could get a better cast, it might be better. You know,
exactly.
I don't know.
But interesting that the Ben Brantley review talked a lot about how the difference between. What's his name? Harvey Fierstein and Michael Urey, and the difference between those two characters, and how Harvey Fierstein is bigger than life, and Michael Urey took a little bit more subtle approach to it. They just loved it, almost a down the line. Directed by Moises Kaufman, who I just like saying that name.
Say it again.
Moises Kaufman. Speaking of Carol Channing, one of the lines from the review. It's talking about natural born stage stars, as opposed like Harvey Fierstein, as opposed to what Michael Urey did. He said, and he also likened them to Carol Channing and Zero Mostel, who make eccentricity is more commanding than beauty. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
it is interesting.
Yeah,
that's kind of like, I like that.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, if I was any good and or if I was famous, I'd be there. So one of the other things he said about Michael Urey, and he said, and there are moments when Michael Urey's Arnold lets us see the bona fide bottomless fear of uncertainty beneath the larger than life facade. So it's talking about he's playing this drag queen and we're able to see a lot more of his humanity than I suppose that they've done in the past.
That's cool.
Some of the other reviews said, Elizabeth Bradley of New York Broadway News said, Uri triumphs in this play primarily through the brilliance of his physical comedy, which adds another layer to the play's fast and funny dialogue. Elizabeth Vincentelli said, This safe production suggests but never fully summons the ache behind the wisecracks or the dangers and the loneliness gay people had to endure in the 70s. Elizabeth Vincentelli often goes the different direction than the other critics. So there you go.
When did the play first come out?
1981. Hold on, I can tell you exactly.
I wanted to say 79, but 81 does sound...
I think it was 81. I know I was in New York at the time. It's in here somewhere. But... Big. It was a big moment at that time when it opened in 81.
I saw an interview with Harvey. It was probably maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And he was touching upon how seeing this and this version of it has made him look at things a little bit differently and the perspective of it. And now that I read all the different reviews, I'm like, now I got what he was saying. But yeah,
it's something I would like to see. I have never seen it. And it's at the Helen Hayes, the newly renovated Helen Hayes, which is now the...
Renovated.
Is it the Roundabout? No, it's Second City. Not Second City.
No, I was like, Second
Talk
City,
while
Chicago.
I go away.
Is it Second Stage? Is that what you're thinking of?
I think I'm thinking of Second Stage. It's one of the nonprofits on Broadway.
But it is definitely not the Second City.
No, it is definitely...
I
knew
think
that
it's
as
not
soon
the
as it came out of my mouth.
Either,
thank
though.
You very much.
Yeah, but it's not the Roundabout.
It's not the Roundabout.
I don't believe it either.
It's... it doesn't sound... Anyway, go see it.
It's that one.
another thing that opened was American Son with one Olivia Pope.
Yes.
Kerry Washington. This is just an amazing Stephen Pasquale, Jeremy Jordan, three people in the show. And this just sounds amazing. This was written by Christopher Demos Brown, and it talks about takes place in a police station where a woman's son went missing. She's black, played by Kerry Washington. Her husband is an FBI agent, and as a white man, they're estranged. Played by Stephen Pasquale. And actually, one of the things they just loved Stephen Pasquale. I think this is a Jesse Green review. And then Jeremy Jordan plays a white station thing. Like, and it's talking about, it brings a lot of the stuff in light about how African-American young boys are being killed by police. Mm-hmm. But it does, it takes a slightly different angle to it. Directed by Kenny Leon, I should say, and Jesse Green says this is the best work that Kenny Leon has done to date.
Yeah, I saw that. There's been a lot of really great press. Kerry Washington has done a lot of press, and they actually have more clips of this play that I've seen available in B-roll than I normally do for a play. A lot of different ones. So there's a lot out there. You want to see some of the scenes. They're long, too.
So, but it's a 90-minute it's a 90-minute play, so that's good. Paragraph I'd like to share with you by Jesse Green. American Son is not a subtle play. It barely feels like a play at all. With its unrelentingly high tension on every level, maternal, martial, societal, it is more like a slice of a nightmare with a few contours despite its surprises. Its abrupt ending doesn't even offer a chance for catharsis. It just spits you out. Just love that.
You know, yeah. Eugene Lee is in it.
Yes,
he's
Eugene.
At Texas State.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, thanks. He comes in, I believe, in Act 2. No, there's no Act 2, so that would be impossible. Yeah. Never mind. So Charles Isherwood says, American Son exudes an eclectic electricity-charged immediacy, acted with sharp focus by its cast of four under Kenny Leon's solid direction. And that was the fourth one, was Eugene Lee. American Son derives its depth of feeling primarily from Washington, who fills her role with all the rage, frustration, fear, and anguish to maternal care that a woman caught up in such a trauma would feel. Sounds like an amazing piece. Yeah. It's at the Booth. I love the Booth.
Named after my cousin who ran the marathon.
John Wilkes Booth. Yes, I know. I know. All right. Point. So we just have a little bit of time left. So I'm going to skip everything. So these will all be on our website, offstageonair.com. You can see articles about the renovation of the Delcourt Theater in Central Park. Michael Riedel's article about the new production of Company that's in London with a female Bobby.
Yes.
That's coming in, which is really amazing.
Awesome.
Beetlejuice, which had its, it's in DC, it's opening, nobody likes it.
I'll save you from reading that. Beetlejuice.
Bat Out of Hell was about to go on tour, canceled at the very last minute.
Yes, my brother's very upset.
Not canceled, but postponed. They say it's still going to happen.
Yeah. I was about to say, I'm going to laugh at that.
And then I just want to talk about this really quickly, because remember last week I talked about... who was it that didn't break character?
Laura Benanti. She didn't break character when her prop broke.
And I said, duh. So I believe in my title, I said Laura Benanti does her job. In this title, it says Glenn Close not doing her job. She was in the middle of her performance of whatever the name of that show is.
She's
Joan of Arc's mom. And there was some drilling in the background, and she stopped the show. Breaks character, breaks the fourth wall, and says, "Does that noise bother anybody else?" And then chatted for 10 minutes with the audience before picking the playback up. I'm sorry, I have issues with that.
Yeah.
On Broadway.
Yeah.
That's weird. And Babs George, I just need to say, is sitting here with her mouth again.
Her mouth is like on the floor. And it's a period piece. It's not even like set in modern time.
Not
wrong.
And the article was not, they were...
Thought it was okay?
Yes, everybody, there's no outrage at this. I think it's R-O-N-G wrong.
Sad.
If it was my show, that actor would be given a stern talking to. Right? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong on that.
Babs?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Right. I just need your... I need validation.
I mean, a cell phone in the audience is one thing, but, you know, a drilling, there's nothing you can do about that. That's happening.
You hear the subway going underneath you. Stuff happens. And New York is a complete and utter construction zone these days, from the streets to the buildings to the subway. So, I mean, it's not going anywhere, Glenn. Just going to keep happening.
Yeah. I was like, my mouth did exactly what Babs George's mouth just did. I was agape. I was agape. So the Biden Payne Awards were on Monday. And I've got just a little note to the Biden Payne Committee, right? Okay, so they know who's won the awards the day before, right? So why don't they, before the award ceremony, put that in a document, and after the award ceremony, post that document in a list form and not make you go through individual Facebook posts to find out who wins?
I thought they used to do that.
They used to, but now all it is afterwards. On Facebook. And so I don't have a list that I can look at. So I have to scroll through Facebook. But we're not going to get a very good list because I can't. So Outstanding Production of Drama is The Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this because Bab's here. Amber Quick got Outstanding Actress for The Secretary, which was amazing. All of you guys in that show did an amazing job. So I'm going to assume that Amber's going to share that with all of you because y'all deserve it.
She's going to. She doesn't know yet.
Our very own Nick Mayo won for Best Director of a Musical of The Ugly Chaperone.
I was about to say, oh my gosh.
The Drowsy Chaperone.
That's like a trip to Bountiful Pippin.
It is. It is. Alan Robertson and the show itself and Summer Stock Austin won a whole bunch for Robin.
Yes.
Jesus Valles won for Best Actor. Rudy Ramirez won for Best Director. I mean, congratulations to everybody. Original score, Music Valleys. Literally, I've got to go through individual posts to see all this. Rocker Verestique won Best Stage Movement. There didn't seem to be a category for choreography, but they got one for stage movement.
Wow.
Don't understand.
No.
My favorite stupid category is Best Stage Manager. And I say this because I am one. It's like it shouldn't be an award. You know who else won a whole bunch is Jennifer Jennings. Jen Jennings won a whole bunch. And the Vortex won some for Performance Park. Did anybody go see that? It was fun. They did a great job. Dramaturgy, a list of people for dramaturgy for Booth's Richard III. Oh, and of course, the Rude Mex deconstructing Troilus and Cressida won a whole bunch. So... congratulations to all those winners. And here's Ginger Morris, dance choreography. So I guess there is one for choreography.
I was about to say, I thought there was one. But
well, I guess I get confused. You could call it dance choreography.
It's redundant.
It's redundant.
I know.
Yeah, it is redundant.
Toys and Cressida.
It's like saying it's a musical song.
It is right. A music.
Yeah. It's not dance choreography. It's a musical song.
So there was a bunch in here for improv troops, which I think is great. So Mazel Tov. And BIM Council, please publish these as a list for those of us who just want to look at a list.
There you go.
Okay. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. All right. So that's it. So in honor of all the winners of the B. Iden Payne Awards, let's listen to this from the show called Queen, a Symphonic Spectacular. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello, it's Shiro and Sheps.
It's Shiro and Sheps, Sheps and Shiro.
Sheps and Shiro.
The two S's, S squared.
Yes. Square.
We've been having lovely conversations with Cheryl Chaddick and Angela Benz and Bab George. And we're going to switch gears right now and speak directly to Bab George about her show.
Opposed to indirectly.
Spoke to her indirectly before.
I know. I'm just mean as smart.
So you are hard at work, opening tomorrow, I believe,
in
John Patrick Shanley's Doubt, which won the Pulitzer, the drama critics, the everything.
I was like, what didn't it win?
It won everything. So tell us about it.
It's a brilliant, it's a brilliantly written, crafted play to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just how you decide to infuse it. And there's, so there have been with Meryl Streep and with Cherry Jones and there's another big one.
Yeah.
They're just vastly different approaches.
Really
and I
different.
Think people are going to come away with what they come away with. And we're not taking a particular direction.
What's the give us a little idea of the narrative and the plot of the show.
Well, I don't, the narrative is it takes place in a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the nun, Sister Aloysius, and a young nun, Sister James, and the pastor, Father Flynn. And then the mother of one of the children is Mrs. Muller. And there's a belief by Sister Aloysius, whom I play, that this pastor is having relations with the boys.
Yeah.
So this is not something new. This is a story that's been going on through history. And she doesn't really have proof. So it is something that she intrinsically believes from her experience as a sister for many years. So it's the unveiling or the attempt to unveil that and to get him out of the school.
Is the setting of the play in the school itself?
Basically the two areas that we play in are her office and a little garden area.
Courtyard
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it a garden.
Well, it is actually, she calls it the courtyard, but it's also a garden. So it's both. Hey, we're all
there
right
here.
Like,
we're
all courtyard, right. Garden, yeah.
And who else is in the play?
Well, we have Joel Gross is playing the pastor. Brooke Culbertson is Mrs. Muller, and April Patterson is Sister James.
Yeah, and it is being directed by
Rick Romer.
Rick Romer, yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The production is a City Theater production, but we are doing it at the Trinity Theater.
Right, which we've talked on the show. I love that little space. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. People get scared away because of parking, but it is easy to park
there.
It's really simple to park here. I need to take a quick detour to the left or to the right, depending on how you look at it. And we have to do our randomly selected legal ID.
And who shall it be?
We don't know.
Let's see.
I hope it's something fun. Here we go.
Hi, I'm former Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on Austin's KOOP 91.7 FM.
Well, that was apropos, Senator Barney Frank.
I was like,
Barney
how did you get the senator? Like, of all of them, that was kind of funny.
There you go.
That's how it works.
was this show, when it was performed, I guess it performed in New York like 3 years ago?
No, it's older.
Is it older than
that?
Yeah,
okay. It's like 15.
Yeah, it's been.
But it was just 20? In New. I could have sworn it was just in New York.
It's been revived, I think.
Okay.
Maybe maybe twice, maybe not.
I get, and they have nothing to do with one another. So before you yell at me, I get doubt and proof mixed up.
I know, I do too. I actually do too.
Okay, good. Thank you.
No, those one word, well, not really mixed up, but those one word plays. Like, which one is this?
Because I don't like proof.
Proof actually works for this one too.
I was just about to say, you really could interchange the words here as the title. Yeah, isn't that funny? Oh, that is.
So does this show, I mean, assuming you, you know, I'm going to ask a question, you can't even answer it, so I'm not going to answer it. I was going to say, does it come to any conclusions at the end?
Well, we all have our own conclusions, but that, no, I think it's up to the audience.
Who wants to come to see the show? Is this suitable for kids?
PG-13?
I would say probably teens.
PG-13, yeah. Great. And are you doing any kind of talkbacks?
We're not.
Interesting.
Well, I would love to, though, because just to see what the audience came away with.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, especially, well, first of all, the subject matter is worthy of, and I'm not a big fan of talkbacks, but unless there's something, a lot of times you need to unpack how you're feeling after a show like that, but you're also performing in a church.
Right.
So that adds another little level.
Oh, yeah, well, you do add that level to it. I didn't even,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Just about the faith too. I mean, there's a lot of aspects of this play that go beyond just the.
I always have a conversation with someone, whether it's the movie that's been on or the play or whatever, or someone's like, "Oh, someone was doing this." I always end up having crazy conversations. So many different perspectives on that piece. Mm-hmm. It's a great piece.
So tell us about your character. What
Sister Aloysius?
Yes. Your approach to the character is because one would, so in my mind, Jewish kid that I am, I have, you know, I think of a, when I think of a nun, it's always archetypical.
Sound of Music.
Well, no, but
I'm not sure that'd be Sister Aloysius.
No, I know.
What's her story?
She's being described as a hard and cold person. Mm-hmm. So you have to bring that in. You can't go against that, and it's in the text.
What era does it take place in?
1964.
I was alive. I'm going to go on record saying that.
Yeah, just after the death of Kennedy and this lack of faith and this, I think what's very difficult about this, some people play her with an Irish accent, some people with a New York accent, some people, I don't know what. So we're, you can come and see what we're doing.
We'll see.
I'll try not to talk like that. And just basically what is her story, that's something that you make up yourself because there's very little about it. But I think... something, you know, when you meet people and you have this feeling about them because it's based on something else that has actually happened before or more than once, and you can't let go of that even though you don't know for sure. And so there's this thing that is driving her in this play that goes beyond something tangible. And I think,
there's so many ways as a performer that you could approach that, I would assume. It sounds like, and I've not read the piece, but I'm assuming that it leaves a lot open for you to build your backstory, build your character, make different choices.
Yes.
Your own choices.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly build your backstory. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And y'all open tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
How exciting is that? Now, so you're at Trinity. City Theater is going through some issues with its theater space, which we hope... Hope, fingers crossed that it gets fixed up real soon. So are you ready? Are you excited about your opening tomorrow? Well, of course you're ready. Are you excited?
I think we're ready. I think we just, we've had this sort of strange experience of being at City Theater and in a different space, now going into a new space and having this
It's been about a month
of time, and kind of rev it up again and find out who we are and where we are in this space. It's interesting how space affects you.
It does.
It really does in a weird way.
There's an energy around every different space.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we're just barely in the space. So, no, we're excited. We think the audience is what we need now.
Well, and you will get that tomorrow night.
Isn't that funny how they make a difference, that audience?
They're huge.
So how long do you play?
It'll be 3 weeks. It'll be the from November 8th through the 25th with just no production on Thanksgiving.
Wonderful. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's probably smart. Where can folks go to get more information?
Well, they can go to the website, the City Theater website.
CityTheaterAustin.org. Well, Babs George, thank you so much
for
joining us.
Thank you, Babs.
Have a great time in this show.
Thanks. I hope you guys will come.
I'm going to absolutely try. Great. That was Babs George. She's part of City Theater's production of Doubt by John Patrick Shanley. Play November 8th through the 25th at the Trinity Street Theater. For more information, you may visit CityTheaterAustin.org. Don't go away.
Doubt comes in.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
I'm here.
Me too.
Square.
So very quickly, this is the part where we typically do local. And I said we weren't going to do it because we were going to spend so much time doing the Behind Pain Awards. But we just sort of blasted through. But while we're here, is there anything other than your own stuff that's going on locally that y'all want to talk about? Anything? No?
What do you mean? Okay. Oh.
Locally, you know, that's what we normally do at this time.
It's all that Terrence McNally celebration is all
give it
this
to us.
Oh, that's huge.
It's
huge. Something in that.
I was just about to say, and Babs is a part of the Monday festivities.
And what are the Monday festivities?
Monday's festivities are at Zach Theater. It's a gala performance. Cheetah Rivera will be there.
Richard Thomas.
Michael
Learned.
Yes. There's a huge amount.
Is Lisa Shep's going to be there?
I don't know, Lisa.
No.
Are you?
She wasn't invited.
They'll be doing readings from his plays.
Readings and pieces. Mm-hmm. Just honor his great. Terrence's 80th birthday. There's a screening of his documentary, Every Act of Life, at UT this weekend. That's on Sunday. There's a whole bunch of different stuff. It's a partnership with Zach and Harry Ransom Center.
And more information.
Papers. ZachTheater.org/McNally.
There you go. All right, let's do Today in Theater History.
Today
in Theater History.
Stuff happened.
All through the ages. This is a busy day. I normally go through and I pick and choose some, but I chose just about every single one.
Isn't it kind of exciting when you get those days where, like, most of the day you were like, this was a great day?
So today was the very first time we heard on the Broadway stage, give my regards to Broadway, remember me to Herald Square.
Oh, I've done that musical. What was it?
Little Johnny Jones.
No, I haven't done
that. George M. Cohen.
I was like,
you also have George M.
It's in George M.
Yeah, I have done George M.
Yeah, I was about to go. It's in the George M. also.
So back in those days, they just would use songs, same songs in different shows.
And call it a different name, yeah.
That was 1904, 1910.
Wow.
The operetta by Victor Herbert, Naughty Marietta, ran for 136. Have you heard of it? Do you know it?
I have heard it.
You've heard it? Well, you're going to hear it a little later, too. It is a theater staple and has done a bunch of Broadway revivals and tours. It's all over the place. I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
Never seen it.
Yeah. Me neither.
It's a fun title.
It is the birthday of Ellen Stewart, who started... So I had a little aha moment when I read this. So I had always heard of La Mama Etc.
Yes.
Like that's what it's called. But do you know why it's called La Mama Etc.?
Because she is La Mama?
No. Why? What about you, Babs?
No. Okay. I don't know why.
It's La Mama Experimental Theater Club, ETC. And so I don't think it was La Mama, et cetera. I think it was La Mama, ETC.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so
kind of funny.
Funny.
You know what? I've always called it La Mama, et cetera, too.
I've always called it La Mama, et cetera.
You know what? We're going to just keep it like that.
La Mama, et cetera. It's when it opened in 1919. 1921.
I was
sorry.
Like,
wow.
That's the future. What time machine were you on?
It's true. Ed Wynn, who everybody would recognize, but maybe nobody knows by name, or we might know by name, but a lot of people wouldn't. And I'm trying to think what other people would know him as. He was in the movie 1776.
Yeah,
I think.
But I'm. Anyway. You know what? He's that face you know, and you're right. I can't.
But he was called the Lisping Comedian because he has sort of that lisp. And he earned that nickname within the musical comedy The Perfect Fool, which he wrote and he starred in, and it ran for 275 performances in 2021. I want it to be 2021.
It's okay.
Because we might have a different president by then.
It comes out.
Mary Poppins, of course.
I said she was in Mary Poppins.
Yes,
yeah.
Of course. It's written in here. Yeah, he was in Mary Poppins, and he played I Love to Laugh, which was not in the Broadway show, and I was really mad.
Yeah.
That didn't make the Broadway.
They couldn't
version.
Float the people up, probably.
But they can.
They have King Kong. They can figure it out by now.
In 1934, we had the opening night of Dark Victory. Anybody hear
yeah.
that?
Ooh,
you've heard
yes.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But listen to this cast. It was starring Tallulah Bankhead.
Wow.
That's the cast I want to talk about. There's another piece that has the next one has an incredible cast. But she stars in it. Betty Davis took it over, and then she did it on film in 1939.
Yeah.
Cool. Dark Victory. In 1956, Long Day's Journey Tonight
no,
opened.
Wow.
Now, that was totally against Eugene O'Neill's wishes. He didn't want it to open. And it opened at the Helen Hayes Theater, but it's not the current Helen Hayes Theater. I think it's a different building.
I think that's the one that they ripped down,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you vote on that?
Yeah, I did. I voted on that.
You voted to rip it down. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, it's my fault. But it had Jason Robards Jr., Frederick March, and Florence Eldridge in it. Directed by Jose Quintero.
Wow. That's like spectacular.
Ran for 390. And I was just talking to...
390.
I was with friends last night, and somebody just brought up Long Day's Journey Tonight, which I love. So here's something I didn't know. During Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Zero Mostel was dieting, and he collapses during the intermission of a show, and he was unable to complete the show.
I didn't
Whoa.
Know that.
Didn't know that. On this date, 1968, Lee J. Cobb starred in Key Glear at the Vivian Beaumont. Here's the cast I was talking about. Listen to this cast that's in it. Stacy Keach, Philip Bosco, Paul Rudd, Charles Cioffi, Renee I cannot say her name. Can anybody help me? She's famous. Renee, look at that. You can pronounce it. It's French.
I can't see here. Where it is on the piece of paper.
Anyway,
I can't
let's
find
not worry
it on
about
the
it.
Piece of paper.
Let's here. Okay, Babs.
Hey, I do French, but
yeah, I do French, anyway. But I can't
anyway,
find it on
her,
the piece of paper.
I used to be able to pronounce her name, but anyway, amazing cast in 1968. In 71, opening at the Public Theater, David Rabe's Sticks and Bones. Sticks and Bones. It moved to Broadway in 72 with Santo Loquesto, amongst others. He designed the set. It ran for 121 performances off-Broadway, 246 on-Broadway.
Wow.
And whenever I hear...
I love Rabe.
I do too. And I always think of Streamers a lot.
Yeah.
When I, you know that show,
yeah.
Streamers?
Yeah, sure.
And the song that goes along with it, Beautiful Streamers Open For Me. That was in the show. And then 1996 saw the first showing of the Santaland Diaries.
What
at the Atlantic Theater Company,
96.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I mean, I guess I did.
Now it runs all over the place, including here. It's back this year again, isn't it?
It is.
With Martin.
No, it's not with Martin. It's with J. Robert Moore.
Oh, never mind.
Shazam.
And then 2000. Oh, this is also the anniversary of the death of Howard Keel.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2011, we had the Broadway revival of Godspell.
Oh, yes.
Which I did not
with the Hunter Parrish.
See in the... Is this the Hunter Parrish one?
I think so.
Yes, it was the Hunter Parrish one. Telly Leon, Lindsay Mendez, mm-hmm. etc. I never saw either Jesus Christ Superstar or...
Godspell
when they first came, because they came out sort of around the same time, because I was Jewish. That's the reason.
Really?
Absolutely the reason. Amazing. So I still am Jewish, by the way. Just saying.
Oh my gosh, that was hilarious.
So let's take a little break hearing Tramp, Tramp, Tramp from Naughty Marietta.
Are you fighting from the wild?
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air here at KOOP, streaming live at KOOP.org. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by Nicole Shiro.
Hello, it's Shiro with the Sheps.
Shiro and Sheps, Sheps and Shiro, Shiro and Sheps.
Square.
We just had a lovely conversation with Babs George. We just love talking to you, Babs.
Lovely.
Could do it all day long, but we're going to stop and talk to Cheryl Chaddick. And Angela Benz, and talking about the fall dance festival of the Chaddick Dance Theater. Spelled incorrectly, by the way.
Spelled what?
I'm going to turn your microphone on. Spelled incorrectly.
You just don't want her to have a microphone. I mean, what's up with
no,
that?
No, theater. Yeah, I'm just... Talk right into that microphone, Cheryl.
Okay, sorry.
So, Cheryl, you've been doing this festival for a while. Is This is the fourth year. This is the fourth year. Yeah. I call that a while.
Yeah, that is a good time.
So this is the Fall Dance Festival. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a buffet of dance where we bring in all these different genres under one roof into one evening so that when people come, you're going to experience all these different aspects, voices, approaches to whatever dance is for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always bring them in and they all do something special.
So it's different genres, different dance, like not only will we have modern and jazz, right. We might see some ballet or some...
Well, we're going to swing.
Tap and swing.
We're going to have hip hop. We're having a little aerial this time.
Oh, cool.
We're having
a
dance comedy. So every year it's a little bit different.
And are there different troops?
I love that.
There are different troops doing it.
Yes, always different troops.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many different ones are there?
There's a total of, including the company, my company, there's going to be 7 in
this. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so. Angela, are you part of the Chaddock Dance Theater?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so Chaddock Dance is modern primarily?
Yeah, it's modern. Well, we call it dance theater.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you for being on the show.
We'll see you later. Voila.
So how many pieces will you be in the festival?
Yeah, so Chaddock Dance Theater will have one piece in the festival.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be in that.
And you're the star? Just say yes.
We're all the stars.
Oh,
bright, shining stars.
Diplomatic.
But yeah, this is my fourth season with
Chaddock.
Chaddock Dance Theater, and I'm really excited about it. It's always fun to just be around just a different, diverse group of dancers that you're not usually around and just kind of get to know them and see what they're doing. And yeah, it's just a really fun time.
So modern dance here in Austin is sort of experiencing over the past 5 years or so a renaissance, if you ask me. There's a lot of modern dance going around here.
It actually seems like it's grown a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because mm-hmm. I kind of thought the same thing. And I didn't expect that. I thought, oh, maybe it's going to be another big city. But it looks like Austin is pulling it in.
Yeah.
Pulling it in. And it's all really good work. It's all exciting work. It's so like... Every time Lisa and I've had this conversation off air a few times that the dance has just been so amazing the last year and watching all the different, I'm like, it's all great quality. It's so good. So that's exciting.
Yeah. It seems full. People seem full and they want to like express and get it out there. And there's a lot of new people coming in and young people are coming in and like I'm all for it.
So the festival is over 2 days. Is
right.
it the same show repeated twice, or should I come both days?
Actually, it's the same show repeated uh-huh. twice.
But I should still come both days.
Well, of course.
except for one, we do have a swing dance group that will be coming, and there is going to be a duet on Saturday, and then a full group. Or there's four couples on Sunday.
So right. swing yeah, dance. I love swing dancing.
Me too.
However, we live in the state of Texas, and oftentimes when you say swing, you get Texas swing. So is this swing as in swing music swing or swing as in Texas swing?
Yes, this is Lindy Hop, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. So I can't remember.
And she actually told us that she took some of the ideas from the films of Manning.
Frankie Manning.
Mm-hmm. She said they were really inspired by that, so they wanted to create a piece off of that type of swing.
That's so cool.
I think that is too. I like that idea.
Are all these dancers local or from other places?
Most of them are local. We have one woman that's coming from actually Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, she's driving down on Saturday night.
Driving?
Drive.
D-R-A-V-I-N, driving down?
Driving down.
Love it.
Yes. So, but most of it's usually... local.
Well, that's exciting. And you also, if I remember looking at the website, did I not see that you're doing a talk back of some sort?
Yes, on Saturday night we have a Q&A.
Okay. And that's Q&A with whom?
With
everybody?
The audience and hopefully the artists that actually created the
work.
Well,
I knew it was with the audience, silly.
You
never know. We're going to have a Q&A with just us.
Let's just talk amongst ourselves. That's right.
We do that anyway. Sometimes that's the only people I can get to talk to.
I was like,
me.
Sometimes it's just what happens.
I do that at the bar.
That's true. So have you done the talk back in the past?
Yes, I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
What kind of questions do you get?
I was just about to say, what kind of questions do you get with the
Well, actually, I always encourage the audience to actually ask the artist directly anything that's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because okay. I really think that when they come, they have reactions or they don't understand anything. And I want them to like talk about it, get it out. Let's get it on the
Are
table.
Are they asking like, what did the choreographer have in mind when X
yes.
happened? Or do they just say stuff like, you dance pretty?
No, I know. Well, thank you. No, they'll want to know like, where did you get this idea? Or how did you make this up? Or, you know, that type of thing. They they want to know how it happens or is created. Because yeah. I don't think people understand how, because it is, you know.
It's interesting to watch. So as a stage manager and working on musicals, and then I worked with Joffrey Ballet for a while. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see, A, how choreographers, how you dance people to see that. You don't necessarily see the thought process, but you see the effect of the thought process of what the music does to bring them. And completely. There was one, I did an industrial show for Coca-Cola, and the guy who did all the choreography for Michael Jackson and his name, Michael Peters, we got a number just that day. And he had to teach it to, I think we probably had 50 dancers, one of which was Danny Herman, local person Danny Herman. Yeah. Just to watch him, all the cast was sitting around the room, and he was just listening to the music over and over and over again. And at one point, he goes, okay, stand up. And he had this puppy choreographed with some 50 dancers in a matter of a half an hour.
Isn't it crazy? And it's not just like 50 dancers doing the same thing. It's like so many different actions and coming back together, and you're like, I'm mesmerized by that. How does the brain work? Yeah.
So I think those are great questions and an opportunity for people to say, well, where does that come from? Sometimes...
I also like that when they have reactions and they say what they feel or they relate to something that was actually up there. I love that because mm-hmm. to me, that's what we want dance to be, is it reflects something either in society or the people that are watching it.
Now, is the piece that you're going to be showing during the Fall Festival something that you choreographed?
The one we have it's an excerpt of something I'm going to do in February in our annual winter season.
Does it have a name?
Echoes.
Echoes. Echoes. Echoes. Echoes.
I love it.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
Echoes.
It was, sort of, it was a really bad attempt at a joke. And Angela, you're dancing with the Chattuck Dance Theater. Do you also dance with other companies?
I do side projects here and there.
SPs, we call those.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I did a project during the summer during our off season, Articulate Austin. But generally during the season, there's not a lot of time for extra stuff. You know, I got a full-time job. Helping out a lot with CDT and everything. So,
she helps manage the company with
me. Awesome. So does CDT also teach classes?
Yes, we do.
Wonderful. Where can folks go to get more information about those classes?
Well, they can go to www.chattuckdancetheater.com.
And that's theater with an E-R, correct?
E-R.
Yeah. We have to tell that to our audience because we spend a lot of time saying, spell it R-E.
Yes, we do.
We do. We're kind of snobbish about that.
We're mean girls.
Babs is shaking her head like,
you
people are terrible.
Because we're mean girls, Lisa.
We are.
I never understand, really, what the difference is between E-R.
There is no,
and R-E.
You know, I know what
Somebody
happened.
Actually told me if it's R-E, it's a big...
Some people say that ER is the building and RE is the craft.
Exactly.
But it's real. What it really is Daniel Webster.
I was like, it's English.
No, it is. So what Daniel Webster did with all these British words, he tried to Americanize them, like took the U out of color, and he changed REs to ERs. And that's why theater is ER.
I thought that the Brit was RE. And
yeah,
was ER.
It is.
Everybody's changing it a lot to RE.
It didn't catch on. I mean, it's been RE... since I've started in theater, and I am 25 years old.
But it is, like someone told me, similar to like capital OL versus AL, the region, you know, that.
Right. Well, we're out of time, so tell us what the dates of the festival are again.
It's November 10th and 11th, 8
November
p.m.
10th and 11th at the First Street Studio.
Studios.
And that's your studio.
Correct.
Yes. And give folks the website one more time.
www.chattuckdancetheater.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys for showing up here and talking to us. Hopefully you'll stick around and join us backstage because we have a lot of fun back there. Okay. That was Cheryl Chattuck and Angela Benz with Cheryl Chattuck's Dance Theater and their Fall Dance Festival, the 10th and 11th of this month at the First Street Studio. For more information, chattuckdancetheater.com. We'll be back.
Anyone can be a spy, just
dance.
Dance.
You gotta dance. That's from a show called
Dance.
Spies Are Forever.
Yeah, I know.
And it's called, you know it?
No, I read the piece of paper here that says Spies Are Forever.
I was about to say, I'd never heard of it. Well, we got through another hour. We survived the elections somewhat.
We did. I'm waiting on bated breath to read those King Kong reviews tomorrow.
Me too. Remember, Austin Modern News comes up next if you're listening to us on the terrestrial radio. If you're listening on the podcast, stick around. We're going to go backstage and talk to our guests and learn a little bit more about them.
Yes.
You should be listening to the podcast. You can get us on iTunes. Where else can they get us, Nicole Shiro?
You just go right to offstageonair.com, and there's a little box. You enter your email, and voila, we appear each week in your mailbox.
We'll send it to you.
Don't go looking for us. We'll go looking for you.
Don't go looking for us. I won't go looking for... Never mind. All right. you guys stick around.
What are you going out with here?
We're going out with hair. What a piece of work is man.
Which you know is what?
Amazing.
A little Shakespeare and a little bit of hair.
A little Shakespeare and a little nudity. We'll be back. Yeah. Oh, we won't be back. We'll see you next week.
The nudity happened already.
What a piece of work is man. How noble in reason, how infinite in faculties.
The curtain has come down on the drama called Pickle. The tragic story of a cucumber that falls into a vat of vinegar and is never the same afterwards.
Pickle, we have left the theater.
Babs George, who was playing the pickle, got out of her pickle costume, came downstairs. We're out the stage door by the dumpsters.
Love it outside.
Don't be telling my secret.
It's still the last. It seems to be the last day of summer today. But we're all here backstage, and all of our guests have decided to come and join us today, which were great. So I just want to welcome everybody backstage. Babs, George, welcome backstage.
Thank you.
Angela Benz, welcome.
Thank you.
Cheryl Chaddock, welcome.
Thank you.
Yay. So this is where we get to know a little bit about you guys, and I want y'all all to, and none of, Cheryl, you've been backstage.
No, this is my first.
Oh, awesome.
Is it really?
And I'm Babs, you have not been backstage.
Nope.
Lovely. Say something to me, Babs, because I didn't hear your microphone.
No.
There you are. No. I have to start with you, Babs.
She was wrestling the pickle costume.
Because today, Babs, if you don't know Babs, and I will toot her own horn for her, she's quite the icon of Austin Theater. She's a teacher. She's an actress. She's, I'm assuming you're a director. Do you direct as well? You shook your head, which doesn't work on me.
No, I mean, I'm an administrator of an acting school.
Right, you teach acting. And you're just, I'm so thrilled and honored to be able to talk to you and learn a little bit more about you. I do have to say that today I went on and I saw your reel that's on IMDb, which was quite fun, especially the last character you play.
From War of the Worlds.
Yes. I loved her. And what was that? What War of the Worlds was that? I don't know that one.
Oh, it was for, not PBS, but... they came in from Boston and shot it, and it was
WBE, not WBEZ.
I'm trying to remember the. Anyway, they it was a documentary, really.
Yeah.
And we were reading letters. They came off letters that people had written after they had listened to the original version.
And you played this Brooklyn Bronxy kind of woman. It's done in black and white. Right. It's worth the price of admission. So that's great. So where did you come by your love of theater? Where were you trained? How did this all happen? How did we get you?
Why are you back?
Why are you?
Well, actually, I came by in a long sort of circular route. My majors were Spanish and French. I was in Europe studying when I was in 21, and I had dropped out of school and. I didn't know who I was and what I was doing and why I was doing it. And I'm sitting around with some Italians in Venice on New Year's Eve.
Of course. Now, how many? God, if I had a nickel every time that happened to me.
And then drinking cheap wine. And someone said, il faut chercher dans la vie, il faut chercher, which means you have to keep looking in life. And I went to bed that night, and I thought, you know, when I get done with my year here, where I was supposed to be studying, but I really didn't get much studying done, I decided I was going back to finish my schooling at the University of Utah and get my degree in theater.
Oh.
And it just came out of nowhere.
Are you from Utah?
No, I'm from
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, that
I'd gotten a scholarship to the University of Utah, so I that's why I went to.
And is that in Salt Lake?
That's in Salt Lake.
Okay, mm-hmm. I had it was a pretty good odds that if I picked a Utah city, that would be the one.
Yeah,
don't know if I can name another.
I was about to say I don't know if I know another Utah.
Yeah,
state.
Well, they.
I know Johnny
city,
Utah.
You
know.
There's the
So, well, how did you find yourself in Texas?
Well, I spent a number of years in Utah, and then I was in Los Angeles, and my sister's here, and she had a son that was injured and profoundly. So I mm-hmm. moved here to help take care of him, and then I never left.
Aren't you the best person ever? That's well, really sweet of you. How's he doing now?
Well, he was profoundly.
Oh, okay.
Shaken. Sorry. And so he's 32, but he's a fabulous child. But
got it.
Because he's not a child. But anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. So I never left because Don Toner was then the Live Oak Theater hired me. It was the first one to hire me because I was equity. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept going from there.
Awesome. So tell folks who may not know what equity means. What is equity?
It is the union for stage actors.
And stage managers.
And stage managers.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw that out
there. Yeah, please do. Since I'm not a stage manager, I forget well, that sometimes. Well,
often people, when I say I'm a union member, they go, what union?
What union?
I go, Actors Equity Association. You're an actor? No, I got it as a stage manager.
People do forget that it is under the
umbrella. Which is a weird spot for those that know, because stage managers are in this very interesting middle ground between labor and management, and
right.
it's an odd when you stage manage an equity show, it's an odd position to be put in sometimes.
Right.
But there it is. So where did you get your equity card?
I got it in Salt Lake City.
Okay,
at a dinner theater.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Dinner theaters, which don't really exist
anymore. No, isn't that funny? I know so many people too got their equity card at a dinner theater, and they just don't really.
Yeah. Dinner theater, or children's theater.
I was a singing waitress. We were called kazoos, and then they hired me on as an actor.
So, do you still sing?
No, I really wasn't a singer. I don't know how I got that job.
You were good at kazoo.
Have you done musicals here in town?
I did early on in the early years.
Okay, not anymore.
No, I'm just not a good enough singer. I can be sort of I did little night music, and I did Fiddler on the Roof, but those are sort of actor singers pieces.
Yeah, well, it depends on what role night music.
Those,
if you played
Sin and the Clowns, was whatever.
Yeah, that is an actor.
Well, and there's a whole story about how they created that song around, what's her name?
For an actor. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Who did it?
You just looked at me so angry that I couldn't think all of a sudden.
Anyway, the pressure.
Yes,
they did.
They created the song because she couldn't sing.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And I can't remember her name.
Well, now I can't.
I know.
Either.
Now people are going to start ringing alarms up.
Well,
that's great. And how did you find yourself teaching? Because
I needed a job.
Okay. And did you teach through Don's school, or did you just say, I'm going to hang a shingle myself?
No, I created the school, but Don said, Babs, create a school. And I went, but I'm not a business person. I want to teach. And it was something specific that I had learned in Los Angeles, a way of working. And that's what I wanted to teach.
That was my next question. Is your method one of the...
It came from Meisner. He was a protege of Meisner and was sent to Los Angeles to work with the studio actors, and that sort of fell through, and he stayed there. And then he created his own. His name was Charles Conrad, and he since has passed. But the work was just really kind of unbelievable, changed my way of looking at acting. And so I wanted to bring that. And so I started the school, and then I've had it for 25 years.
So now you're teaching through ACC, correct?
It's through ACC Continuing Education.
Right. And so how would folks get information if you want to and we're not under the same rules. You can plug away here.
You can find us at ACC, but it's easier if you just look online. We're the Actors School.
Yeah. You could also just Google Babs George. And you'll get it.
It comes up.
Oh, yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something to toot your horn. I've watched you teach, working with you with Young Shakespeare, and watching you come in and mentor these students on special occasions. It's been a while, but you're quite magical with them. I don't even know how to put it into words, but the way that you approach them and talk to them, it's really quite special. Thank you.
It's a gift and it's important. I mean, I think all of us in any business, I'm guessing Cheryl and I just totally forgot your
Angela.
Name.
Angela.
Angela, sorry. No. We can all point to a teacher for me. It was Chris Wilson in Houston, Texas. Who was it for you, Nicole?
Yeah.
Do you know Chris? Did you know Chris?
I never worked with him.
Oh, she.
Her.
She was amazing.
But heard a lot about her.
Yeah, well, she's so part of the group that I was in. It was Studio 7. Patrick Swayze was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie, what was his last name? A lot of people that are.
Yeah,
really
but people are always.
She was amazing.
Yeah.
What about you, Nicole?
College was Brian Shaw at Columbia. Brian Shaw was the big one. But Sandy Boynton was a woman that I met along my way, just taking extra classes and continuing my education that really, really, really changed the way I look at things.
Cheryl, do you have someone you can point to in your...
Oh, yeah. For me, it was Alonzo King in San Francisco. He really changed my whole life and my whole way of looking at the art, dancing, the whole thing. And then I had another man named Bob Beard who, when I was in college at SMU, got me started on not only dancing but choreographing.
Awesome. And Angela?
Yes. This gal named Alita Kanata. She's based in Italy.
Great name.
Yes. And she just taught me a new way of moving and thinking about the body after dancing for, 15 years. That just opened my eyes to dance and movement.
Great. And Babs, my last question for you is, who do you point to? Do you point to somebody specific in terms of your career as a performer or teacher?
I think Charles Conrad in Los Angeles, but Michael Kahn in Washington, D.C. at the Shakespeare Theater. And golly, I could stop. at Shakespeare and Company. Shakespeare and Company.
We love Shakespeare and Company because it's not only Shakespeare, it's Company.
It's Company. Yeah.
There you go.
Angela, what's your story? You from Austin?
I am not. I am from Bakersfield, California.
I've heard of that place.
It's a very not glamorous part of California, but it's home.
It's in the center, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Southern Central California. And then I went to school out in Philly, a little university called Eastern University, and got a dance major while I was there, but was... not fulfilled by their dance program. So I often got gigs in the city, and I was training with Philodenko for a while, a part of their apprentice company. And then after college, I moved down to Disney and I performed at Walt Disney World.
Okay.
And I was soon like...
You worked for the mouse.
Yep, I did.
I have him on today. Do you know why? Because it's his 90th birthday this week.
Aww.
So Mickey turned 90, which is why I was like, help, Mickey, bon anniversaire. Put this on today for
did
you.
Not know there.
Yep. Yeah. Useless facts.
How long were you with the mouse?
Maybe a year.
Okay.
I was soon like, you know what? This is not artistic enough for me. It's not challenging enough for me. It's very fun performing in front of thousands of people every day and just getting to hone on different skills, but not dance and performing. And that's in an artistic, expressive way. So that's what I was really looking for. So I shamefully say it now, but it's not shameful. But I moved here because my boyfriend, now husband, lived in Austin. And so I was like, well, I want to get out of Disney. I guess I'll go to Austin where he is. I'll be that person.
Well, if you have to land somewhere, it's not bad. And did you study are you ballet? Did you do
all the above?
And do you still take class in all those things? Or are you
primarily in modern? Mm-hmm. I dabble in a lot of hip hop and ballet. I take yoga every week too. So those are the three primary.
Interesting thing about I had mentioned that I toured with Joffrey and ballet dancers specifically. For young women, my ballet dancers were lying about their age when they were 21. They were saying they were 17 because your life is pretty much over at 25 as a ballet dancer for a woman.
Right.
Is it the same thing in the circles that you were dealing with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still look at into summer workshops and stuff abroad. I did like a month-long workshop in Italy a couple years ago, but now I'm older than 25 and the cutoff is 25 even for modern dance, and so I have a hard time still finding being able to be accepted into these great programs just because I'm more seasoned. So.
It's really sad and frustrating. And men don't have the same issue. They tend to have more longevity in the dance world.
Unless you're Misty Copeland.
Unless you're Misty Copeland.
But
there's only one Misty Copeland.
I know.
Um, Well, that's awesome. Do you what's next for you? You going to take over Cheryl Chaddick and like, kick her out?
Go, Angela.
I know those are really big shoes to fill. Still got a lot of learning to do. Right now, I'm just love learning. I'm still, you know, a lot of people my age are teaching or choreographing, mm-hmm. and I just don't have that desire right now. I feel like there's this bar where I just like keep put for myself that I want to reach, and I may not ever reach it.
Well,
but
most of the time, the bar is like 4 feet off the ground.
Most of the time, typically.
I'm over here laughing. I can't get the laugh out quick. I'm sorry.
And I would like you to congratulate me for not asking you if you drive a Mercedes.
Oh my gosh. Did you really?
Whoa. I want to answer the question. But
her last name is Benz.
But in a roundabout way,
yeah, I
just kind of did.
Which was done by design. Cheryl, where did you come from? Where did you get your love of dance? And have you done theater? I forgot, Angela, did you do theater?
I've done a lot of musical theater, yeah, okay, growing up. But
favorite role? Favorite show?
Probably and The Music Man, Zanetta. Eek, God.
Oh, I love that one.
But I did a lot of dancing in that one too, which was really fun. But when I first moved here, I did a musical written by Freddie Carnes. Carnes, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. He wrote a play called Iphigenia, and I was Iphigenia. And so it helped me really develop some of my acting skills and kind of branch out into that field a little bit more.
Awesome. Babs, do you dance? Have you danced?
No, but I always wanted to be a dancer. Yeah, we never had money
growing
up. Let's
do it. Let's see what me do with that.
Right now, I'm going to start. No, I do a lot of ballroom dancing, though.
Oh, do you?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Do you have, what's your favorite ballroom dance?
I'm still a waltzer.
A waltzer. Yeah, there is something lovely
dun,
about dun, it.
Dun, 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 dun. So, Cheryl, tell us about yourself. Where'd you grow up?
I was kind of born in Corpus Christi, but then we got moved over to Karachi, Pakistan.
Oh,
and that's military? Where
that's where one normally goes.
I know, right, from Corpus Christi. Go there.
And, why did you go to Pakistan?
Because they sent my father over there to find oil in the Indian Ocean.
Oh, got it.
Interesting.
When I was there, I was in the American Embassy School, uh-huh, and someone wrote a play for children, and I actually got to be one of the leads in the school. So that was my first hit of theater.
What was the role? Do you remember?
It was just a singing kind of, I was master of ceremonies type thing.
Lovely.
Yes.
Well, then that's how you got this bug?
Well, and that's where it started. Uh-huh. And then my mother was a theater director in Corpus Christi, mm-hmm, before we took off to go overseas. And so, you know, she was always talking about everything we look at. She talked to me in a way a director talks to you.
So how long were you in Pakistan?
We were like 2 years
there. 2 years.
So I was a pup.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's your Pakistani? What do they speak in Pakistan?
Urdu.
Urbert. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I'm like totally like, I was the youngest, so I was just, loved it. I had a great time.
Well, yeah, I'm fluent in Urdu.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't like to show it off.
Urdu, you speak it, please?
Yeah. I like eating good things. Urdu? So when did you? So you grew up in a family that mother was a theater director, and you end up being the head of a dance company, I presume, and a choreographer. How did you? What made you switch from theater to dance?
Well, actually, when I was in high school, I was ready for drama and being an actress, but the person that took over the theater department didn't like women, so he put all women on stage crew, and so I thought, I guess I'm not very good at it. And I need to come up with something else. And so what I loved was dance. Because my mom said, don't pick something as a career that you're going to like wake up every morning and not want to go to.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I love dance. So
dance.
So I'm going with dance.
Where did you study?
I actually studied, believe it or not, before SMU had a dance department, I studied with the people that had their own studio in Dallas, mm-hmm, Texas. And then they became the department. Then I went to school over there with a scholarship.
SMU?
SMU. Yeah, and then they had a repertory company, and they put me in that before I even graduated. And then I went out to San Francisco and started dancing professionally out there for 10 years.
And did you go from San Francisco to Austin?
I did.
Why would you do
that? Yeah, how'd you come
why would you leave?
And I have to tell you, that's pretty impressive to like all of a sudden go and start your career in San Francisco.
Right.
Well, you did it in New York.
Yeah. It's a big pond.
It is.
Right. Yeah, actually my mother had a freak accident and I had to come back and help out in that situation. So it was that choice.
We do those things that we need to do.
And
it's,
you know why?
And it's a good, and it's a good thing. It says rocks. A lot about you as a person that you do that, because you do have a choice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
Awesome. Good for you guys. Yeah. Well, God, we could talk forever, but we're out of time. They're going to kick us out of the dumpsters.
Okay.
There are other people that like to use them. So I want to thank you all for joining us backstage.
Thank you for having me.
You had a pickle and leaving.
You take your pickle and go.
I have an extra jar for everyone. Oh my gosh. So party favors today.
Well, thanks for joining us. It was a great show, and we'll see you next time you're here.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Funeral home, what it is, what it is.